Hi, welcome to Obi School once again. We are on chapter 12. In the previous chapter, we saw importance of information. In this chapter, we are going to discuss about importance of management. When we talk about management, management actually runs the show of the company. Management of a company holds its present and plans in the future. And hence, importance of management cannot be overlooked. When we talk about management, there can be different types of management. So we are going to learn that different types of management and what pointers need to be checked before investing in the company. We'll also discuss that. First of all, why should we have information on management? Prior to purchasing the share of a company, it is imperative to assess the quality, competence, and integrity of the management. The quality, competence, and integrity of the management clearly tells you where the company is going to go, as it is upon them that the future of the company rests. A good, innovative management can make a company grow, and a bad one can kill it. And hence, one has to know how good the management is before deciding to invest into a company. The management at the helm can determine the fortunes of a company, and it is for this reason that one should not invest in shares of any company until the quality of its management has been assessed. There are various ways in which the quality of management can be assessed. Before that, let us understand the two main types of management. The first one, family management. The second one is the professional management. What is family management? In a family management, the seats of the power in the family managed company are occupied by the members of the family. So the members of the family form the main core of the family managed business, and the mantle of leadership of control over the affairs of the company are passed down from the father to the son, or from the brother to the brother, or cousin to the cousin. Many of the larger companies are family controlled. What are the advantages of family managed company? In most family managed companies, the management often runs the company as its very own. Decisions are made with family interest in view. The CEOs of the large business houses have gone abroad to study at prestigious business schools and use the knowledge for managing their business. This clearly indicates the old guard change it. Gone are the days when the same members of the family, whether they have knowledge or not, would run the company. Nowadays, the CEOs of large business houses are going abroad for advanced knowledge, and this knowledge is very useful for running the family bench companies. Modern methods of management are being used effectively, and the business are thriving because of the knowledge upgradations and skills upgradation. What are the disadvantages of a family managed company? Many family controlled companies are rigid, orthodox, and traditional. This has been mainly on account of family businesses being managed at the helm by the patriarchs who have not been exposed to the modern methods of the management. As we see in the previous slide, this is changing now. The cash-rich companies are used to buy other companies with scant regard to the income distribution to the shareholders. This is another disadvantage of a family-managed company. Employees, including the senior managers, are considered as paid employees of the family and are unfortunately at times treated as such. Employees in the family managed companies are expected to be subservient to the family, and the family loyalty is often the most important attribute required for an employee. These are some of the disadvantages of a family managed company. That does not mean it is replicated in all the family managed companies. Now, having seen a family managed company, let us understand what is a professionally managed company. A professionally managed company is managed by the employees who do not usually have a financial stake in the company and have been chosen to manage the affairs of the company on account of their proven competence and expertise. So these are specifically selected on merit based on the needs of the company. Professional managers depend on success in achieving laid down goals and results to retain their position. They are simply accountable and responsible for the success based on the role they have been provided. They are constantly set targets of growth to achieve, and consequently they tend to be efficient, cost-effective, cost-conscious and stable. So these are solid benefits of a professionally managed company. Professional managers are prepared to listen to new ideas and try out new products. They are receptive to ensure their methods are best. They try to be aware of the latest breakthroughs in science, technology, electronics, management science, and everything that will make their efforts for improving the growth and development of the company more effective. Consequently, professionally managed companies are normally well organized, growth oriented, and good performers. Investors are the recipient of regular dividends and bonus issues because the company keeps on consistently growing, and that consistency is reflected in the form of dividends and bonus issues, and this is very good for the investors. The best part of professional managed companies, professional managers are accountable. A lot of infighting and internal politics exists in professionally managed companies. Professional managers, as there are promotions, etc., depending upon the performance, always trying to outshine one another. And in this process, the best comes out and the company benefits, the shareholders benefits. This does not happen usually in a family-controlled company, as all are aware that the mantle of the power will always be on the shoulders of a family member. However, there is usually a method in the way the business is managed, and there is reasoning and logic in their decisions. Since professional managers are accountable, they tend to be careful and conscious, and this is what helps them to bring a more accountable and responsible attitude towards the business. What are the things one should look at when considering investing in a company? Number one, the past record. How has the company been managed in the previous 3 to 5 years? Has the growth been impressive or lackluster? How high is the regard or esteem in which the management is held by its peers in the business community and the industry? The third important point is the depth of knowledge of the management too must be considered. Their knowledge of the industry and of the latest innovations and management techniques. The past record, how high they are held in regard or esteem. The depth of knowledge of the management, this becomes very important factor one should be looking at before investing in a company. The fourth important point, how did the management manage a time of adversity? That is a real test. The acid test is how did the management perform at a time of adversity? Did the company perform better than its competitors? The management's integrity must be beyond question. Is the management innovative in looking to the future and plan a strategy for the future? So these are certain points one should look at before considering investing in a company. What should be done prior to investing? Number one, it would be wise to think twice before one invests in a company that has yet to professionalize its management. We have seen the benefits of professional managed company. So if one decides to invest company which is yet to professionalize, then one has to think twice. It is important to determine who the major shareholders are and ascertain whether they have a record of managing share prices, especially at times when they are trying to raise money from the general public through share issues and debentures. It would be wise to avoid investing in companies where there is infighting or shares, or where families have split, as one who suffers most is the shareholder, especially the small shareholder. It is prudent to avoid investing in the shares of an unknown business house. And finally, one should avoid investing in companies where the management is no longer dynamic. Now let's look at the position in India. In India, apart from some multinationals, the large companies are family-owned. However, the saving grace is that although at the helm they are dominated by a member of the family, the companies are managed on a day-to-day basis by professional managers. And additionally, the scions of the families are enlightened and knowledgeable, having been educated at prestigious business schools. So even though they are family-owned, the actual functioning of the company, the day-to-day basis, is managed by professional managers, and the scions are also enlightened and knowledgeable. A family that is managing three companies well is more than likely to be managing the fourth well also. And with this, the position of family managed companies in India is better with such changes and transformations that have happened in the family managed companies. So what's the conclusion for this chapter on importance of management? The bottom line in determining the competence or incompetence of management is naturally the bottom line. How much has it grown? This is a real test, and one should not invest in companies in which one has doubts on the competence or integrity of its management. There are many companies, look for it, which has a solid management, which actually has plans for the growth and development of the country. Just for the sake of investing, don't invest in a company whenever there are doubts on the competence or the integrity of its management. Thank you.